there was times when I just, out of nowhere, would just feel like a peace, almost like, you know, I don't know how to explain it, because it's hard to explain peace in the midst of level 10 or even, you know, 7, 8, 9 pain. But there would be times when all of a sudden, like, there'd be like a peace about me and my soul, even though I'd be in excruciating pain. It would be like, I can do this, and like, I can get through this, kind of these thoughts. And that was not a, you know, a normal thought.
Welcome to There Is Hope. The advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope, Richard Dover.
Welcome to There Is Hope Radio. This is your radio host, Richard Dover, and I am doing another interview with my son, Joshua. And to kind of give you a recap, if you have not listened to our previous podcast, is Joshua is involved in a motorcycle crash, a very critical crash. When you hear his injuries here shortly, you'll understand that. We have talked about his experience in the Marines, how it helped him to deal with some of the issues he's had going through his rehabilitation for the motorcycle crash. We talked about his first memory when he was in the hospital, and you'll have to listen to that interview because he thought he was being tortured and did not know he was in a hospital room. And then we talk about when he woke up and his thoughts when he was in the hospital after a week of not knowing he was in a hospital. So anyways, Joshua, why don't we go to your injuries real quick, because we need to recap them, and that'll explain why people start to understand you probably had a little bit of pain. And what we're going to kind of cover is your experience with pain, how you've learned to deal with pain, how everything you've learned, even with God's help, doesn't matter. You still can be in pain. And we'll talk some of the things that I want to talk about, a couple of things that happened in the hospital, too, just to help people know that it is great to have an advocate. If somebody's in the hospital with the injuries that, like Joshua's had, it would be great to have an advocate. We'll talk some about that, too. But, Josh, why don't you start from the head to the bottom of your toes to what all the injuries that you had?
Yeah, so starting head to toe, concussion, but had my orbital left eye socket, my cheekbone and nasal cavity all crushed in, reconstruction surgery on the face with plates and screws and such.
We should say that you did have an excellent helmet.
Yeah,
thankfully,
very,
you had that. How much did you spend for that helmet?
It's around a $1,400 helmet. I got it for $1,200.
Wow.
And, so it was not cheap by any means. And
do you think you're alive because of the helmet?
No, I think, honestly, the only reason I'm alive is because I think I had a battalion of guardian angels, to be honest. I shouldn't have lived, by all means, if you were to make this accident happen again 1,000 times, you wouldn't live through it. So I don't think the helmet did anything to save my life. I think it might have helped save my face, you know, from a little worse damage than what it was, but it definitely, I don't believe it saved my life.
I agree with you. I know the story. I need to say, did you hear on... No, I don't think you were on. I don't think you were on the line with me. No, you weren't. I had talked to the one nurse at the Portland Hospital when we were taking care of one of your appointments. Josh has been fighting to get a sleep study, so I jumped in to be able to get a sleep study because that's a whole other issue for him. But she had said to me specifically, "I am doing everything I can because Josh was a walking miracle."
Yep, I didn't know that, but
I don't think I told you that, but that's what she told me. This was a couple of weeks ago. She says, "He's a walking miracle." I says, "Well, I like to keep him walking." And she says, "I'm doing all I can to help him to stay walking too and breathing and everything else." So that gives a testimony when somebody looks at your records and they say, "This guy is a miracle. This guy is walking and alive." So anyway, so going back, you had facial injuries, so let's keep on going.
Yeah, so... We move down from there. We'll just start with the back. I had two shattered vertebrae and some minor spinal damage. Repair on that was fusing four vertebrae together. And then if we move to the front, outside and on both front and back, I had seven broken ribs. I got some on the back on both sides and some on the front on one side, but seven total. And then torn aorta, which is one of the most severe injuries that they didn't even think I was going to make the Hilo flight from the site to the hospital, and that was before knowing I had a torn aorta. So
when we found out you had a torn aorta, when we had found that out, I thought I was going to a funeral.
Yeah, when they fetal flighted me from the accident scene to the first hospital, that was an injury they didn't know I had. And when they found out about an hour after doing a bunch of diagnostics on me at the original hospital, they immediately threw me on a helicopter for a 40-minute helicopter flight to a much more able to handle pretty severe accidents as a hospital. And that 40-minute flight, they didn't think I would survive that because of the torn aorta. But I'm still here. If we continue to move down, my right pelvis was essentially exploded. The car bumper hit me right on the pelvis, and there's over 16 fragments of bone that blew up from my hip and ended up dispersed all over the place in my soft tissue in my leg. If we move to the arms, I had my left radius completely sheared off the bone, and some fractures along it as well, lower part of the radius, as well as a displaced ulna, and my left hand was one full hand length to the right of where it's supposed to be, and then my right thumb was the tip of my thumb was completely broken. I believe that was the
it didn't the burn injury.
Is that enough? Or nope, yeah, I totally forgot
a critical
that.
One.
My stomach, I believe I landed on the exhaust pipe. My bike did catch fire and blow up, but I believe I landed on the exhaust because my safety coat and jacket and everything I was wearing was slightly pulled up during all the crazy flying through the air and whatnot. And my stomach across the entire front of my stomach, about 4 inches in height, the entire length, was burned, third-degree burns down to the fat layer, and I had to have that completely excised and get free tummy tuck, essentially. A free tummy tuck and free facial. You just got to get a pretty horrific accident, but you get free ones. But, that's kind of the extent of the injuries other than, you know,
Now
issues mentally and speaking and stuff, but...
And then there is the speaking issues. We don't know if there's something that's happened to his esophagus through him having the intubated
and
breathing tubes and
feeding tubes, all that.
Feeding tubes, all that. So we're finding out if there is injury there because he is having some speaking issues. And so we got all that, and needless to say, there was some pain that's from that. And if you listen to our previous radio shows, that the first week he had no pain whatsoever because what was the medication he was on?
Ketamine. It's an amazing horse tranquilizer.
And so he, out of that, he did have psychosis and all that going on. And then he comes up about a week later. They give him something else. So now let's talk about the actual pain and describe some of the pain. And I'm going to share, I don't know what you know, because some of this you don't know what was going on, and what I heard long distance. By the way, I'm in Arkansas, Joshua's in Oregon, the accident happened in Oregon. And so describe some of the pain that you're going through, the different parts of your body, and how excruciating it is. And I guess before you do that, in case people didn't listen to our previous radio shows, you were a Marine in Iraq twice, two tours of duty in Iraq. As a Marine going through boot camp and everything that you went in Iraq, you know a little bit about pain, correct?
Yeah, as far as physical and mental pain and anguish, that is definitely something I already had a pretty good idea of, but that was child's play compared to what I've gone through now.
Yeah, so why don't you describe some of the different things that were going on while you were in the hospital?
Yeah, well... To start, just want to make sure everybody understands, this is not my own accord. This is several doctors have told me that I have a very high pain tolerance. And unfortunately, when I say I'm in level, you know, 3 or 4 pain, they've told me that as a normal person's 5 or 6. And so a lot of the problems they had originally was is when they were asking me about pain, I was telling them low numbers, like, you know, 3 or 4. Because my ability to handle pain is so much higher that a 3 to 4 to me, they should have been handling a lot differently, thinking that I was in, quite a bit of pain. You know, when I say 5 or 6, that's somebody else's 10. So that's a severe amount of pain. And they, at first, could not figure out what was going on with me because I can take so much. And secondly, I was told by the doctors that my body synthesizes a lot of pain medication. And that was a very big problem that they had for 3 weeks, is the fact that everything they were trying on me was basically just being taken in by my body and taken in so quickly and turned into water, so to speak, that it wasn't doing anything for me.
Okay, and then we should add another
yeah,
thing
yeah.
is some people have low threshold of pain because they've been drug addicts, so you had not been abusing drugs or anything else, and so you're, quote, or just a normal person going into the hospital of an accident, but you're abnormal in the sense that your body handles pain a lot differently.
Yep, which I have to say is a blessing, just knowing how much pain I go through now. If I didn't have a pain tolerance, I don't know how I'd even be willing to crawl out of bed every day. Yeah, so as far as pain, I've got both the muscular and tissue type pain, and then I also deal with a lot of nerve pain as well. And so it can be anything from throbbing and aching to fire and lightning bolts. And I deal with pain every day. My pain on my scale, I deal with on a daily, is typically around a 5 with jumps to 6 and 7. I've got a tremendous amount of pain in my hip still, and it's got more hardware in it than, Lowe's does. And I've got a ton of titanium plating and screws all throughout my body. Back is another issue. The problem with the back is there is no drugs that they've found that currently work for my back. And so the only way to get rid of back pain, and I shouldn't say get rid of, but the only way to lower it, is to do ice or heat. So that is something I deal with constantly, and I have constant pain in my left upper portion of my face because of all the nerve issues. I have pain in my right thumb because they don't think that it healed properly, and there's a big chance I'm going to go in for my ninth surgery. But, there's just a tremendous amount of pain, enough to just counting one body part, there's enough to put me down for the count sometimes, it feels like. And that's just one part of the body. You know, if you add them all, it's pretty hard to push through and do all the stuff I need to do, for physical therapy and all that kind of stuff. But
so then
really
this
got to stay positive.
And this is in the rehab scenario. So this is after being fixed up. So if you go back into the hospital, there were at times either you call her the Alaska mom would get a message, or I would from your sister normally, and I would get a message from Joshua's mom. There'd be times we get a call, get the prayer warriors praying. So we absolutely believe in the power of prayer, and you would say you believe in the power of prayer. But what were some of the other things to help you to deal with pain, some of the things that your mom and your sister did with you? And we're talking about when you were at level, what, level 10 pain at times?
Yeah, my version of a level 10. So I don't know what you can call that, because it's, if I got a high pain tolerance, 10 is, you can't get
15
worse.
15 or whatever.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is, because it's a scale of 1 to 10. It's as max as you get, but it's almost inhuman, and it's animalistic at that point. But there was two things that my mom and my sister would do that gave me, I guess, a fighting spirit to try to get through. And one of the things was just hearing their voice speaking calmly to me, telling me how to breathe. Because I don't really know. I don't know if I was hyperventilating or what I was doing, but they would basically tell me, breathe in slowly, and they would tell me, as I'm breathing in, that I'm breathing in healing and comfort and peace. And basically they used a lot of positive words for the breathing in. And then when they tell me to breathe out, that they were telling me that as I was breathing out, the pain was going and leaving my body, and the badness and the hurt and anguish and all that was leaving. And they would do that. I hate to admit this, but they would do that literally every second, every minute. They would be talking for up to 5 hours straight. I had level 10 pain for 6 hours was the most, and frequently 3 to 5 hours.
And they would do this the whole time.
They wouldn't stop. I just remember in my head hearing it almost like an out-of-body experience, fully feeling everything, but almost separating mentally in the sense that I could hear someone from somewhere. I don't know that I necessarily realized they were next to me, but I could hear them. It was some of the worst feelings of pain I can ever explain, but there was almost a comfort, I guess, that I wasn't alone, that somebody was that I cared about was doing whatever they could to help me, even though they couldn't take the pain away, they could be there and be with me in the pain, I guess.
Yeah, and I want to emphasize that, because if you're listening to this show, if you ever have a loved one that goes into the hospital on a major injury where there potentially is a lot of pain, they need an advocate. Josh, do you remember times when they were not there?
Oh, heck yeah.
And they try to be there all
the
time,
but
needless to say, if they've been there for 5-6 hours doing this, they can't be there forever, and only one person can be there at a time.
Nights were not easy because they couldn't be there, and because of COVID, like you said, they could only be there one person in a 24-hour period, and obviously they can't be there 24 hours. They need to get sleep too.
Yeah, they
were
at
the
beginning
stages. It's not like my mom
stages,
could
but
be morning and my sister could be night. It was only be there, you know, one 24-hour period. So nights were pretty rough, but at least during the day, I had some people with me.
And it's just that no matter what medication we're using, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, it was, I mean, they tried so many drugs, it was ridiculous, and they were putting me to dangerous levels on some of those drugs because they could not figure out why my pain wasn't coming down. And
Do we have any idea what it was?
I don't know. I know some of the smaller stuff like Vicodin and stuff like that I've known, and they know it doesn't work on my sister, but Vicodin is one of those ones that, because it's like water to me, I think it's a joke of a pill, but I know Vicodin works for some people, but
well,
Vicodin
you know what?
Is
That's
one that
interesting.
They put me on a huge dose of.
That's interesting you say that. It's probably something in the hereditary, because I rarely have had any pain medications, but Vicodin is literally nothing for me either. I mean,
it's like
I could take as much I needed a root canal, and I ended up having to go to the emergency room, and I had gotten Vicodin, and literally, it was like taking an aspirin that did nothing. And so obviously that's something
does.
Probably genetic with you.
Yep, and my sister even pleaded with the doctors to try something other than that, because she knew, for one, it didn't work on her, and she knew for a fact it never worked on me. And she pleaded with them to stop, you know, spending a couple days trying to figure out what dosage to Vicodin, because she told him it doesn't matter. You could give him the entire bottle here. You know, other than killing him, you're not going to help him. And so, the medicine was definitely an issue.
Now, I want to talk about the power of prayer, and you're sharing how you feel prayer work. I want to share a story of where Josh had been by himself. His sister came into the hospital room, and he was obviously in his level 10 pain. There's nobody there, no nurse, nothing. And she immediately texted his, we call Alaska mom, and she actually lives here in Arkansas now, but texted her, and then she let me know. We got a hold of the people that are praying and got other prayer warriors praying. And about 5 minutes later, she said, Josh and his vitals were all kinds of crazy stuff going with his vitals. We haven't even talked about that, but all kinds of stuff. I don't know, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart rate down, said nothing. I don't remember it all. But then she said, within 5 minutes, it was a drastic change. And I don't know if you know that instance. There may have been more than one instance. But how do you feel prayer helped you in the midst of it, or God helped you? I mean, do you believe that?
Yeah, definitely. I can cite several instances. in many examples. So one, as far as prayer from other people, like praying on my behalf, there was a lot of emotional and mental angst and anger based on a lot of the pain I was in. And when I'd hear that, you know, somebody would tell me that, hey, your dad and has told people to pray for you, and his church is praying for you, or your mom, your Alaska mom, and my mom here. You know, anytime I heard that, it'd be comfort in that sense. But also there was times when I just, out of nowhere, would just feel like a peace, almost like, you know, I don't know how to explain it, because it's hard to explain peace in the midst of level 10 or even, you know, 7, 8, 9 pain. But there would be times when all of a sudden, like, there'd be like a peace about me and my soul, even though I'd be in excruciating pain. It would be like, I can do this, and like, I can get through this, kind of these thoughts. And that was not a, you know, a normal thought. So I
yeah,
know for
and
a
it
fact
wasn't
it was not just
it
coming
wasn't
out
just,
of nowhere.
It wasn't just positive thinking. It wasn't just hopeful thinking. It was that you knew something was going on.
Yeah, I literally felt a difference in it. I've been very positive through a lot of this. I've obviously had plenty of moments of not, but I've been very positive many times, and I never got a physical, like physiological feeling or anything like that, a warmth or anything that I got whenever I, anytime I'd say, you know, hey, at, you know, yesterday in the afternoon, all of a sudden, and then I'd find out, well, yeah, your dad specifically called these people, or, you know, your Alaska mom called these people, or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. And then I'd put two and two together and go, oh, well, that's what it is. People are praying. And
what we had done is we had just got people who said, we want to know details. We just don't want to pray generic prayers, God be with Josh. We want to pray specifically. So whenever he was going into different surgeries, whenever he was having these pain issues, whatever was going on, if we got word of it, then we would ask people to pray specifically. And a lot of it was, and I remember even telling Josh one of the first times I talked to him, I said, you know, I wish I could give you a positive affirmation, everything's going to be okay, but what I could tell you is that you're going to make it through this, and that I'm not going to say that if there's healing, there's pain with healing. There's not only pain from injury, there's pain from healing. And the pain may not go away, but you'll have the strength to bear through it and have the peace as you're going through it. And the Bible talks about a peace that passes understanding, and what it means, it's a peace that passes understanding. It goes past understanding. You don't understand it. You don't understand how you could possibly have peace. And that can be for a variety of
different
things.
That's a great example of what it felt like. a peace that made no other sense. Like, you shouldn't have peace when you're in level 10 pain. It was not a peace that was like taking the pain away, but it was a peace that I could do it.
That you could bear through it. And that's life. So that's the reality. That's life. And whether it's some physical pain or emotional pain, or, you know, loss of relationship, whatever it is there's times that that pain, that feeling is not going to go away, but God can give you a peace that's with it. Josh, thank you for your time.
Yep. Thanks
all
for
righty.
Having me.
I just want to remind individuals, you're listening to There Is Hope Radio. There is hope for anybody and everybody, know what they've gone through. I know there's hope. Josh has gone through his own thing many times, and yet he's still alive today. And for you that is listening right now, there is hope. What I wanted to end with is to let you know that the hope is through Jesus Christ. Our show is called There Is Hope, that through Jesus Christ we can have hope, that he will give us the strength when we have no strength. God is on our side. I wanted to end the show to let you know there is hope. If you need someone to talk to, I want you to know that we're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can call a phone number. It's a toll-free number. It's 1-866-WANT-GOD. Real easy to remember. 1-866-WANTGOD. 1-866-WANT-GOD. You can call 24 hours a day. At any point in time, we'll pray with you. We'll talk with you. We'll do anything that we can to be of help to you, to help you to be able to make it through whatever you're going through.
You've been listening to There Is Hope, and any advice or counsel given was provided for informational purposes only. For more information on what you've heard about today, click on thereishoperadio.org. That's thereishoperadio.org.